Let's think today about the difference between reacting and responding and why it's better to respond rather than react. Well, simply put, when it comes to our communications, a reaction is instinctive and immediate, a bit like a reflex or the proverbial knee jerk, but a response is more reasoned and thought through. As a very basic example, if you have added that asterisk, that's what I meant, or struggled for the undo button after pressing send, then it's likely you reacted rather than responded. Responses may still have mistakes, but you've often taken a moment to construct a clear reply. According to Maria Konnikova, a poker player calls a non-thought reaction tilt. And this can happen following a big win or a big loss. You may be emotionally tilted and your next moves can become slipshod or biased. Dialectic behavioral therapy would remind you it's always best whenever behavior engages with the wise mind. And that is the balance between the emotional mind and the rational mind. But this can only happen when you take a moment to process what you're dealing with. However, one thing I would say is because a reaction is often visceral and perhaps more fundamental, like a gut feeling, than the interpretation or the analysis which follows, I would always still mentally note my initial reaction. That doesn't mean you need to act on it. Just be aware of it, because that may be an extra guide as to what outcome you want or what you're really feeling about what you're going to do next. It can be problematic when we react to strong emotions, but if you're in a safe space, I would actually say react to those strong emotions as much as you like. It's actually very healthy to express how we feel authentically and openly if the situation allows us to do so. However, there are times where a strong reaction may become problematic. I'm not an advocate of hiding feelings in front of children, but it may be that they may not understand a really raw outpouring, and they may also begin to make sense of it in a way that isn't healthy for them. So being able to talk with them in a more considered way, whilst also allowing yourself space to feel, perhaps expressing that raw outpouring with a friend in a different environment, is often healthier when other people are concerned. It's also worth recognizing that sometimes an extra surge of emotion may be what's needed if someone is just not getting it. But unfortunately, because we don't tend to manage emotional outbursts very well, a strong reaction can then result in people avoiding us or becoming overly concerned or matching that strong energy. And none of this is actually helpful for interpersonal relationships long term. So I would say, if you are feeling strong emotions, it's okay. You may need to find a safe space in which to express them. And this is where journaling or channeling them into sport or music can help reduce their intensity. I would also say that suppressing emotions is probably more problematic than reacting strongly. So be aware of that. Because if we store things up, it can build like a pressure cooker. And this could release in an even more inappropriate time because the body and mind can't cope any longer. So again, just be mindful of what it is you're doing in an emotional situation. And when it comes to training ourselves longer term to respond rather than react, this needs to be done outside the point of crisis. You can't simply tell yourself, breathe deeply, because that's just not going to work. In fact, it probably makes more people more angry. Younger children may learn to manage their emotions from a well-being kit, and there's no reason why we can't as well. So a child's kit may comprise of affirmations or things to slow breathing down, such as bubbles to blow or soothing textures to feel, or even a thermometer picture, which can allow them to express on the image just how big their feeling is emotionally. For adults, if we know we're going to go into stressful situations, having things like a smell that calms you, like a lavender pomander or a tea bag, that can help. Even having a fan, because if you're like me, I get very hot when I get emotional, and that discomfort makes things worse. So being aware that we might feel stress or under pressure, we can sometimes do something about it beforehand. Another thing we can start to teach at a young age and remind ourselves now is that emotions are nothing to be scared of. They may feel big, but they will pass. A way of helping this process is not suppressing them, but perhaps naming them. And even asking yourself or a child on a scale of 1 to 10, how big is this feeling right now? And then really think about ways in which we can reduce that feeling. So if it's at a 10, what gets it to a 4? And then what does it feel like when it's at a 2 or 3? Research has shown that general calming practices such as meditation or walking, getting out into nature, gratitude practice, all of those things can contribute to lower levels of cortisol being released at the point of stress. But again, these need to be done and built up outside the point of crisis. There are other things that we can have in our toolkit to get ourselves through that moment. I actually prepare some phrases when I think I'm going to be put on the spot. And these help me when it comes to the question of, do I actually want to deal with this or can I actually do it later? I will often say to people, I can't give it my full attention right now, but I will revert to you on that at dot, dot, dot. This phrase is quite automatic to me now. The other one that's quite automatic to me is, I can't tell you right now, I don't have my diary. And that gives me time to think. Focusing on the facts of the matter can also help reduce some emotional impact or tension that you might be feeling. Enlisting the support of other people can also help. So, for example, if somebody is dumping troubles onto you, you might empower them in return by asking, well, what is the best thing I can do for you right now? And of course, there's the popular 5-4-3-2-1 grounding technique where you actively look around and name 5 things you can see, 4 things you can touch, 3 things you can hear, 2 things you can smell, and 1 thing you can taste. That has the effect of breaking any negative spiral and gets you focused in the present. And it also clears a moment of headspace, which can be enough to enable you to respond rather than react. And that's all we have time for. But for more practical ways to boost your well-being, check out my YouTube channel, Dr. Audrey T, Practical Tools for Everyday Wellbeing, or my Facebook page of the same name. Or have a look at my website, www.draudreyt.com, or tune in to the Wellbeing Lounge on Tuesday nights, 9 till 10, for your hour of mental health on NLive Radio.